Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and today we have Philip Goldberg, who's the author of American Vita. Did I pronounce that right, Philip? Is it Vita or Veda?
Veda.
Veda. None of them. Veda. Okay, like Darth Vader.
Well, let's not go with that association.
I prefer
the Beatles.
Okay. Veda. Okay, got it. American Veda. And he is here talking about his book, which is a fascinating book. There's so many ways in which Indian spirituality has changed the West. And if you read his book, you will be fascinated about all the different ways that the Indian culture has permeated ours. So welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Yeah, so here's the thing that I'm still a little bit confused about, I have to admit. So, and first of all, I don't know how to pronounce half of these Indian sacred texts, so apologies to the universe and all sacred people.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so the Veda is one of the... the Veda is one of the four... So tell us all the sacred texts, first of all. There's the Bhagavad, but I can't even pronounce
it. All right, don't even bother. Don't try.
Okay, you do it for me. Please help me out of this.
Okay, because it's really secondary to the...
Okay.
So let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, let's get it out of the way.
Veda literally means knowledge, and we think of the Vedas, collection of texts that were... oral tradition for many centuries before being written down, as the sort of seminal core teachings of what would become Indian philosophy and yoga and Hinduism and Buddhism and all the rest. This is the sort of ancient core expressions of and insights of India. But we later... The texts most people are aware of are the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads and the Yoga Sutras, and to some people, others, the Brahma Sutras and so forth. And those are further along in history and have been translated many, 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 many times. And the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita are the sort of core texts of the philosophy of Vedanta. And it's Vedanta, the ideas of Vedanta and the methodologies and insights of the yoga tradition that mainly came to us in the West through books and, more importantly, gurus and scholars and other sources, and have had a big impact, especially in the last 40 or 50 years.
So there's not... I can't go to the library and check out the Vedas.
Oh, you could if you went to the right library, like you're in Seattle, mm-hmm. right? So you could go to the University of Washington. I'm sure they would have translations of those texts. But they're not easy to wade through. I mean, they're ancient stuff, and it's a lot of symbolism and so forth. So if you felt like reading, I would... go to the Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads and the Yoga Sutras.
And use those as kind of my launching pad to understand some of the knowledge that was collected in the Vedas.
Yeah, or start with my book. And
yes,
that'll
true.
Tell you, that'll give you sort of certain essences, but mostly you'll see what had come here and why it's important for us in the West. These are not, I mean, you could look at the texts just out of curiosity and for your own edification and your own illumination, and that those would be great. But there's many other sources as well.
Yeah. So then, and are there any particular translations that you particularly prefer, or the ones that resonate with you the most when you read the translation and say, "Yeah, I like that translation"?
There are many, and in my experience, people gravitate to different ones depending on their taste, their experience, their orientations, and I don't want to be the one to say this is the best translation.
You're not going to give us the definitive version and which one to read.
No,
all right, that's fair.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices.
Yeah, okay. Good. Okay, so tell us how, and what I found so interesting and that I didn't even know is that the Veda, the knowledge that was collected in these four books, is the genesis, and you said this earlier, it's for Buddhism, Hinduism, and then in your book, you then talk about all the various Christian Science and other religions, New Thought, and Agape and the Unity Church. A lot of this stuff is based off of these beliefs. Did I read that
correctly? Well, kind of, but very few people read the Vedas. These are source books and texts of very ancient origins, and mostly scholars read them. But these core teachings evolved and became more and more precisely articulated, and so it's not that these expressions in the West evolved out of them. Out of that Vedic civilization, all the religions of India somehow developed and branched off from one another. But when the teachings came to the West, what came was mostly ideas of Vedanta, as captured in the Gita and the Upanishads, and the methodologies and principles of yoga. And so the Western or sort of American expressions of non-conventional spirituality and alternative religions, ever since the days of Emerson and Thoreau and the early founders of New Thought, and then later all the phenomena that came when the gurus came, and the current yoga scene and the spiritual, not religious, phenomenon. These were ways Americans adapted some of the core teachings of Vedanta and yoga and assimilated them and sort of mixed them with our own American perspectives. And so these forms were developed. And one of the points I make in the book is that much of what people think of as sort of American-grown spirituality was influenced profoundly by India. But
yeah,
it wouldn't be because people read the Vedas. It would have been because they either read later texts of Vedanta or commentaries about them, or Western philosophers writing about them, or they picked it up in a psychology context or a scientific context, or directly from the many gurus and swamis who came here.
Yeah, and it seems what's so interesting about your book is you almost outline, I think it's chronologically, all the big influences that have happened. And in every decade, there's some big influence or something from the East that comes across. Would you say that's true? Or like when you actually, I don't know how you think about it, if you think about it in chronological time or...
Yeah, I organize the book somewhat mostly chronologically, but because so many things going on at the same time, and because there are so many different streams and tributaries, people influencing somebody, they in turn influencing somebody, they in turn adapting it into music, as you heard with the Beatles, or literature, as with T.S. Eliot or J.D. Salinger, or in psychology with many of the modern thinkers in psychology, or in scholarship, or in any number of ways, or in spiritual forms like the ones you mentioned earlier. The branches and tributaries get so rich and so interesting that you can't just look at it chronologically, but basically,
yeah.
I tried to trace the history of it over the course of a couple hundred years.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So we're going to come back. When we come back, we're going to talk more about American Veda. What is wrong? Veda, did I get it right? Yes, with Philip Goldberg. Folks, for those who want to create a happy you and a happy planet, then make sure to friend us on Facebook at the Facebook and the Fire It Up CJ page. And if you'd like to hear Philip Goldberg speak, he will be at the eastwestbookshop.com on September 14th and 15th. We'll be right back.
Thank you. this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The Five Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Change your coffee experience forever with Camano Island Coffee Roaster. Fair trade, certified organic, shade-grown delicious coffee. The Camano Island Coffee Roasters are giving back. Receive a free pound of the most popular single origin coffee, Papua New Guinea, to the first 250 callers. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. Just pay $8.95 shipping and handling, and you can try triple certified coffee for yourself. The number is toll-free, 855-438-8671. This is a free pound of coffee that retails at $16.95. Once you've tried this coffee, you will automatically be enrolled in the Coffee Lovers Club for free and will always receive free shipping and nearly 30% off retail of your coffee orders. This coffee is going to knock your socks off. That number again is 855-GET-TOP-1. We say top one because this coffee is the top 1% grade. That's 855-438-8671.
Tune in each week on Wednesdays at 12 Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And Dr. Peggy will lead you through the maze of info on topics from allergies and antioxidants to zinc and xylitol and all points in between, providing you with simple solutions to help you achieve optimal health for your mind, body, and spirit. Visit SimpleHealthNetwork.com to take your health back and get your copy of Dr. Peggy's amazing cookbook, OMG! That's allergy free.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The heart. Did you ever notice how often we use this term in our expressions? My heart is breaking to see this. My heart sings. This person wears her heart on her sleeve. She has a big heart. That touches my heart. Intuitively, we know that in addition to our physical heart, we have a spiritual heart directly linked to the universe and our soul. Let the essence of gratitude infuse you on your journey. Join our Infusion of Gratitude community today and receive your free MP3 audio Infusion of Gratitude meditation. Daily use of this powerful 20 minutes meditation raises your awareness and welcomes health, wealth, and enriched relationships into your life. Visit explorationgratitude.com.
Welcome back to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and today we have Philip Goldberg, who is the author of American Vita. Oh, what is wrong with me? All right. So during the break, I don't know what's wrong. My brain's not working well today. So during the break, I was sharing with Philip that one of my frustrations with reading the book is how Eastern philosophy has affected us so deeply in a lot of different ways. And as you said in the previous segment, there's so many tributaries that sometimes we can't even associate it originally with Eastern philosophy. And I was asking, like, you know, I think it's interesting how these folks from the East came in and how adaptable that they were. That's how you described it, is they were really adaptable. And in what ways do you think, why were some of them so successful? In what ways did they adapt to make it more palatable to Western folks?
Well, anything that's imported from another culture, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, a fashion or a music form, or like, you know, you were just playing Within You, Without You from the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album. And one of the reasons that's distinctive is George Harrison's use of Indian music in there, mm-hmm. of sitars and
sitar,
all that.
Sitar, yeah.
But that and ideas and everything gets adapted and assimilated into a new culture. It's just like, you know, the reverse happened. You know, India adapted the art form called movies from the West, and it mm-hmm. became Bollywood. So mm-hmm. we adapt these things, and the gurus who came here, who were most successful, had certain things in common. They were educated well in India. They spoke English perfectly. They understood Western culture, and then they learned very quickly when they were here how to adapt their message in this American form of English to American culture, which is predominantly a very pragmatic culture and a very rational culture that honors science. It's predominantly a Christian culture. And they adapted the ideas and methods of what we think of as Indian spirituality into different forms. But this was an honest form of adaptation. It mm-hmm. wasn't exploitative. It wasn't mm-hmm. manipulative. It wasn't, you know, McDonald's serving curried vegetables in India. It was a way of adapting to a new culture mm-hmm. by choosing what would be a most both palatable and appealing, because it's a very complex system. And so they made proper choices and adapted it to ways that would appeal to Westerners without asking Westerners to convert or to become Hindus or to give up their own precious religions, or if they were secular, you could adapt these teachings into secular and scientific forms. That's why they became used in medicine and in psychology and in even many physicists.
Yeah, in some ways it's their flexibility and adaptability. So the two examples that I love in your book, one is the Yogananda, who came here very early on and said, you know, this maps to Jesus, and you don't have to actually change your Christian religion. This is completely compatible. So that's an example of. And then the other example that you offer in the book is the gentleman, Maharishi, is that the one who does transcendental meditation?
Yeah.
And he
right.
said, this is, you know, and basically meditation is meant to travel on the path of enlightenment. But he kind of framed it as, this is a stress reliever.
well, let me give you some of that history. I mean, you picked two very good examples. Yogananda came in 1920, and he was a genius at adapting the core ideas and teachings to the era that he came in and the culture he came in. And it was not just that he said these teachings are perfectly compatible with Christianity. He also honored Jesus.
Yes.
And made him, you know, essentially part of his teachings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he adapted in other ways, too. Like, he distributed some of his teachings through mail order. That
yeah,
was
I
never
love that.
Done before.
I love
you know, that.
That
was a new invention at the
yeah.
time. But,
yeah.
But what's very important to understand is that he and the others did not dilute the essence of their teachings. They didn't corrupt them in making them available. They found ways to alter the forms and the distribution and the language, but they kept very true to the essence of their teaching. Similarly, with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who came in the 1950s but became very famous in the late 60s when the Beatles took up his transcendental meditation and went to India, which was a watershed moment in this east-to-west transmission, because then that put meditation on the map and was the beginning of the mainstreaming and legitimization of meditation and yoga in a mass mm-hmm. consciousness.
Yeah.
But he, too, he came teaching methods of enlightenment, and he found Americans wanted to know, will this make me less anxious? Will it cure my depression? Will I sleep better at night? And then research was done on meditation, and the researcher started framing it as stress reduction. And
yeah.
he said, well, that's also
that's
true, so that we'll talk about yeah. that, too. And that's how it happens.
Except where people are right now, that's all they can digest. Wonderful. I love this book. I thought it was fascinating. So, folks, American Veda by Philip Goldberg, who is speaking September 14th and 15th. And I will actually be doing a YouTube video that you can find on our website at www.firedupwithcj with the continuation of this conversation. So thank you so much, Philip, for being here. Great book.
Very it was great to be with you. I look forward to the video version.
Me too. I like to see you face to face. All right. Wonderful, everyone. Thank you for being here. And make sure to tune in next Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. For more of Fire It Up with CJ, it takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat?
Dr. Pat.
How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends. Transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great! We should spread the word!
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio showcases a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, education, and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Our hosts bring together some of the planet's most preeminent and visionary change makers, best-selling authors, motivational speakers, leading-edge scientists and futurists, environmentalists and educators, world-renowned spiritual leaders, inventors,
filmmakers, artists, mystics, and healers that are stimulating and supporting individual and collective growth. Get ready to create positive cultural shifts on Transformation Talk Radio. Join us in making a meaningful difference in the world. TransformationTalkRadio.com. That's TransformationTalkRadio.com.